doctrine of Jesus is the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He's your supplier, your power within. He's your director where the lamp, the word is a lamp unto your feet, not the doctrines of the Pharisees.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on May 28, 2025, and is titled Shavuot. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
Look over here in 1 Corinthians 5. Talking about the immorality of the church, in verse 6 it says your glorying's not good. You know what's disgusting today? We have a church out there, supposedly a church. I don't know what, I don't even know how to say it anymore. That glories in itself. Glory in their attendance. Glory in their real estate. Glory in the amount of airplanes, finances, how many places you preach, how many countries you attend, how many books you've written. And I'll tell you, there's a pile of it now that smells like an outhouse. And he said, your glorying is not good. Let me tell you something today. You better be thankful for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because we as humans are a mess. And I'm one of them. You better understand the grace of God, the grace that does not change the rules. It allows men to come back to plumb. A God that forgives, a God that restores, but a God that still demands your attendance. Not an attendance to an organization or a business, but an attendance to his throne room of grace. He requires that a human would lend his ear to God. He requires that we would ask, seek, and knock. There are things required. Our glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may have a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. The verses prior to that talk about the carnality of the church, the leaven of sin. I'm not telling you that if you sin, you're no longer part of the church. But if you're like me, you have to purge it out. If you don't, it will overtake you. You see, that's what yeast does. Yeast takes a lump and fills the pan. Now, I'm not much of a cook, but I know there's something like that happens. Like you put yeast in a bread basket, or a little old thing that makes bread. You know, that banana bread stuff is really good. Does it not fill up? How's it work, honey? Tell me how it works. Doesn't a cake kind of swell up? Yeast in the flour. Doesn't that make it fill up? Isn't that how that's supposed to work? I mean, I wouldn't know. I buy mine already done. I mean, I don't participate in any of that. But I'm just guessing here that that's what yeast is all about. Does it not fill it up? Does it not fill the container? Makes it puff. Yeah. Okay. So the carnality, the sin, will pretty soon consume your life. When you're trying to overcome that with religion, pretty soon doctrines of men will fill you up and consume your life. Look over in Matthew 13. I want to give you the good news before I quit. Matthew 13, verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid three measures of meal till it was all leavened. Let me ask you today, are you filled up with the doctrines of men? Is that your relationship with Jesus? Is you doing it how people have told you to all your life? Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you've never been washed in the blood, so all your carnality, all your immorality controls your life, controls your mind, your thought process, everything about you, filled up with sin. Or have you entered in? Are you filled with the kingdom of God? Are you leavened? Because at Pentecost, they said, put the leaven in the flour this time. He knew the kingdom was coming. And he knew the containers would be filled. He knew that all who would believe and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, not just Savior, Lord and Savior, they would be filled with the leaven of the kingdom of God. If you're filled with the leaven of the kingdom of God, then what do you lack? You shouldn't. It should be pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. You see, if the church is pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing, then we can leave the corners. Did y'all catch that in the last part? He didn't say, glean the corners and bring it to the temple, did he? What did he say to do with the corners? Leave it for the poor. And one of my favorite places in the Bible, where one of the Marys in town took an alabaster jar of perfume and she broke it and she began to wipe it on the Lord's feet. And Judas, in all his wisdom, began to whisper, why is that woman doing that to the Lord? We could have took that perfume and sold it and put the money in the treasury. You should not whisper in front of the Lord because he already knows what you're thinking. And so he responded to their whispering. And he said, he didn't say it like I would have said it. I said, hey, listen, you idiots, shut up. But the Bible says Jesus rebuked them. And he said, she's done a good thing here. Because me you have now, but the poor you will have forever. Therefore, Matthew 25 says, when did we see you poor? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you naked? When did we see you sick? Now, I want you to notice one thing. I'm a cow sale auctioneer. I've quoted you a third of the Bible tonight. I don't have a teleprompter. I don't have any notes. I've been busy all day. I didn't even have a plan when I got here. I don't have to. I preach from inside the kingdom. I'm not a man standing outside telling you what it's like inside. I want you to remember that the rest of your life, because that's the difference. I'm not a man standing outside telling you what's inside. I'm a man standing inside telling you how it is. That's the difference. When did we see you? When did we see you in prison? When did we see you sick? He said, I tell you today, whatever you've done for the least one of these brothers of mine, you have therefore done for me. But I tell you also that whatever you have not done for the least of one of these brothers of mine, you have not done for me. I've given you everything. Now leave the corners. He didn't say leave 10%. He didn't say give it to the priest. Leave the corners. Because a man who's thankful and a man who's full is a man who'll be generous. You'll preach your entire saved life for free. You get up here and sing every week for free. You know why? Don't need anything. I'm full. If I need something, I'll let y'all know. Because I know how you are. You'd give me whatever I needed. Because that's who you are. That's what it's like inside. That's how we function inside. It's not always how it is outside. Sometimes all of us who function like this on the inside need to share a little of that on the outside so people come to the inside. Is that not the goal, to get everybody in the kingdom? The sad news is the truth. Only a few will find it. But yet we are to offer to everybody what we have and what we're thankful for. Pentecost is a precious time. A precious time to remember. Because if you've been trying to knock this out on your own, you're already tired. And most of them surely ain't here. They're just trying to knock it out. Do their best. And it's a futile effort. But if you've been to Jerusalem, your place of peace, and you've waited till the power cometh upon you, you have now become a witness. Not doing witnessing. See, that's what religion will get you to do, witnessing. But I've become a mirror reflection. Now, am I a mirror reflection of Jesus? I doubt it. I thought some things on the way to the grocery store this evening on my way to church, and I'm sure Jesus wouldn't have thought. But to my defense, they didn't give driver's license to people in Jesus' day. They just walked, and I'm sure they weren't as stupid and dangerous as they are now. See, I'm leaking again. But let me tell you what I am. I'm a mirror reflection of the grace and the mercy and the love of a God who would send his son to save a guy like me and then give me everything necessary to live my life to the full, the best I can, and extend me the grace to try to pull it off every day. To just try. A lot of days don't get it done just right. A lot of days don't get it done just right. But because God is who he is, I can be who I am. And I can walk in the fullness of God and live a life with purpose. And because of Shavuot, I know I was created for more. Because I've been given more than I deserve, more than I could ask for. And that should make me thankful. So, there you go. That's Pastor Pentecost. There you go. So all you people that are 50 and over, pay attention. This is your week. This is your time to shine. But really, that's why we need to teach this stuff annually. It's not for me just to teach you. It's for you to teach it to your children. So your children will teach it to their children. And to truly understand and not fall in the trap of all these false doctrines and all this stuff that's just a mess. It's a mess. Jesus is not a mess. The kingdom of God's not a mess. The world and all its construction is kind of a mess, but the kingdom's not a mess. The kingdom's not chaotic. The kingdom's not confusing. The kingdom's peaceful, joyful, purposeful, always knowing there's more. Never quits flowing. Anybody got any questions, all that? Anything on your mind tonight you want to talk about real quick? Did you learn anything tonight? Anybody get anything out of that tonight? We need to remember these things. So you walk out them doors today. Know that you're full. Know what's been given. Know it's all here. Listen, if you're lacking anything, don't just stand around begging for it. Go find it. Crack that book right there and go find it. Because everybody that asks, everybody that seeks, and everybody that knocks finds. Go find it. Find it for yourself so it'll be yours. My promises are my promises. They can be your promises as soon as you find them. So, that's all I got. Dusty? Exodus 11, 12, and 13, it talks numerous times about when your children ask, why do you do what you do? With the Feast of Unleavened Bread and all the different, all of it. When your children ask, you have an answer. The one thing we got to do is we got to live in a way our children will ask. If we're not doing anything, they're not going to ask anything. So when they ask, why do you do this? What are you talking about? Be ready to give an answer. What's that say? Oh, yeah, 1 Peter 3:16, be ready to give an answer. Yeah, be ready to give an answer. Give an answer. Well, Dusty and I were talking about this today, and this is true. No matter what you're talking about, if you call me about the horse business, I will give you an answer. Had a good friend call me today that's kind of in a mess. Want to know how much his horse was worth. One of the saddest things, we sit around there and he's not afraid of dying. He just hates to have to sell his horse. Not afraid of being sick. He just hates to sell his horse. And he needed an answer. So while we talked about the horse for a minute, I give him some more answers. Give him some more answers right out of the Bible. Prayed with him while he's sitting in the pickup. Just be ready to give an answer. That's not the preacher's job. It's who we are as Christians. Be ready to give an answer. Do you know I have some people who politically don't agree with me? But they're getting closer. They're not moving me any, but I'm moving them a little. You know why? I can give an answer. For every question, every point of debate, be prepared to give an answer. But in order to do so, you have to do the work. You have to do the work. Be ready to give an answer. For when your kids ask, Mom, why can't I be a boy? Take your clothes off here, Susie. I'm going to show you. There's the answer. Because you're a girl. But be prepared to give an answer. I mean, some of this craziness in the world, who's been answering the questions for crying out loud? Be prepared to give an answer. So Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Lord, I want to thank you tonight. Thank you for so many things. Thank you for what this season, this time represents, the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, the kingdom coming to the earth. Lord, you said that heaven is your throne, the earth is your footstool. So, Lord, I know you have filled this place. And that, Lord, you take the scales off our eyes, open our hearts to see and to know that you, Jesus, are here. You're with us. You're among us. It's your desire, God, that man would walk with you. Thank you for an open heaven. Thank you for the blessed promise. We just give you praise and glory tonight, Jesus. Lord, I got one special request tonight. Many of us here tonight that have friends and family members. Tonight, Lord, when we lift up those names to you, everyone hear my voice right now. When we pray for those that we have on our heart to pray for this evening, in the privacy of our closet. God, tonight, would you just somehow let each one of us know that you hear us, that you're close, that you're answering our prayers? That's my request tonight, Lord. Not that we have some big powerful prayer service here tonight, God, but I'm just asking you, help us pray when we all get to our private spot tonight. We've all got people that we want to pray for. Help us with that, would you? In a way like we've never been in on. Some of them tonight, Lord, are going to pray like they've never prayed before. Lord, I'm just asking you to be in on all of it. We love you and we praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.